Always thanks to our choir, tremendous talent to take a really contemporary song like that and treat it in that kind of manner. Thank you so much for helping us worship. Our scripture today from the Old Testament comes from Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, starting at the 18th verse. Jeremiah is woe begotten for the people that he is preaching to and their sin. And he says, "My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Hark the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images and with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people." And then we turn today to this really odd text and parable from Jesus, sometimes called the shrewd manager, sometimes called the dishonest manager. And this is how it goes. From Luke 16. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought against him that this man was squandering his property." He was squandering, like in the text right before this, the prodigal son squandered his father's inheritance. And so the manager summoned the man, and the rich man summoned the manager and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." Then the manager said to himself, "What will I do now that my master is taking my position from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes." So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil." And he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" And he replied, 100 containers of wheat." And he said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commanded the dishonest, commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little, also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. Then if you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, now I ask you, after hearing that text, what in the heck is Jesus talking about today? He's telling a parable about a dishonest manager, a shrewd investor, a clever guy, a cheat. And not only in the parable does he have the guy's boss commend him, but Jesus himself commends him. It's bizarre. Why would Jesus say, "Hey, it's good to be shrewd and dishonest"? Doesn't sound like our guy, does it? Well, stick with me for a minute and we'll get there. I've got some helpers today. Come with me, helpers. Okay, these are all beautiful young people who have been or are students. So if we think about debt in this time, because what we know is student debt is enormous in our country. People, look, everybody who's under like 40 in this room is going, Student debt is enormous in this country. It's swallowing people up. We're learning from real estate people that people aren't buying houses as early as they once did. People aren't getting married as early as they once did because they don't want to share their debt. And so instead of pretending that we are managers of grain, let's pretend that this is the rich man. Look at him. Does he look good? Any good-looking rich man? He's the rich man, or today, for our purposes, we could also call him Sally Mae. Okay? This is our dear friend, who owes me 100 jugs of olive oil. And here's my other friend who owes me 100 containers of wheat. Now, one of the things you do when you're in debt is you sign your life away. So sign that. By the way, Lindsay's senior recital is next Sunday in the afternoon at West Liberty. Please come and hear her sing. You will not be disappointed. She has the voice. I never understand how the voice that Lindsay has comes out of this body and this person, but it is the voice of an angel. And so come and hear her. And I'm going to keep these because, you know, someday that autograph will be worth something. Okay, so here we go. You are now in debt. Woo! 100 jugs of oil, 100 containers of wheat. That's what you owe me, and that's what you owe me, but ultimately him, because he's the rich man who owns all this stuff. Right? So watch this. Take this, cross through the 100, and make it 50. All right, you going for that? That's good. You do yours, cross through the 100, and make it 80. Seems legit? How do you think he feels about that? You owed him 100, and now you only owe him 50. You owed him 100, and now you only owe him 80. How does he feel about that? You feel good? You can see, though, how in normal circumstances, he might not be happy about this, because he's losing half his stuff. In this parable, though, he says, I did good. How do you feel about me? Pretty good. You like me, don't you? Yeah. How do you feel about me?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. You feel pretty good about me? Well, how about this? I'm glad you feel good about me. That's awesome. By the way, next week, I might need a little help moving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You could come and help me move, couldn't you?
I guess.
You guess?
Yeah.
You only guess? Come on, you owe me. You owe me. How about you? My son needs help with his trumpet lessons.
Yeah?
And you're a musician. You can help him, can't you?
I owe you, not your son.
Oh! How do you think that's going to fly with me? Right? Here's what this does. You see this, obviously. This puts them in debt to me. They were in debt to him. Now they're in debt to both of us. See how smart I am? I'm a genius. I'm a genius. And that's what Jesus means when he says, oh, yeah, you did a great thing there. You get commended for what you did, shrewd manager. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Aren't they lovely? Thank you. When Jesus is talking about being a shrewd manager, a dishonest manager, something like that, he's talking about the people of this world. From the standpoint of business and this world, what the manager did was brilliant. Because his boss didn't really care. And now he's out of work, but has put other people in debt to him personally. And guaranteed at some point, those other people are going to have to pay up. You know, It isn't very often that Sallie Mae doesn't come calling for their bucks. And in this instance, he made it personal. Look what I did for you. Look what you owe me. Smart in the eyes of this world. But Jesus goes on to say, how do you trust those people that are smart in this world? I'm betting that the rich man wouldn't hire me again. I'm betting the rich man wouldn't even suggest to somebody else that they hire me, because he saw the way I operated. He fired me, remember? Not very usual that you get fired and then you get a recommendation from your boss. So here it is, this odd text where Jesus is talking about shrewd managers and lifting them up as people to be emulated. No, people in this world to be emulated, because that is the way the world operates. But we are not people of this world. We are people of God's world. We are people of the kingdom of heaven. We are, as this text says, children of light. And we get to operate differently in the world. We are having in our session, which is the board of our church, if you don't know, ongoing conversations about the finances of the church. Now, one of the things that no one here is allowed to do as we talk about this is panic. Okay? We've been having this same kind of conversation for about 25 years, and we aren't going to fix it in 25 minutes. But one of the things we know is that in June and July and August, we took in $29,000 of income, revenue, your bucks in the plate. One of the other things I know is some of you are sitting around going, well, is that good or is it bad? Because you don't have any context for what that is. So let me just put it in context for you. In those 3 months, we took in $29,000. In one of those months, our outgo for personnel was $25,000. Added to our electric bill, pretty much, that's 1 month's worth. So in 3 months, we took in 1 month's worth of personnel and electric bill. And remember, personnel and electric bill doesn't talk about programs. It doesn't talk about the gas bill. It doesn't talk about any repairs we did. It doesn't talk about the great mission that we're doing. People are psyched about what's going on over at Woodsdale. Do you know there's a kid at Woodsdale School who goes over every Friday and goes to the office at 3 o'clock to get his food bag? He doesn't have to do that. They're delivered to the classrooms. He can get a bag in his classroom, but he makes sure he goes to the office to get his because it's so important for him to have it to take home. That's the mission that we're doing. We gave the seed money to Laughlin Chapel for their new bus. Without the bus, they would have had to close down because they can't get kids to and from. We support college ministry missionaries in Philadelphia as a congregation. We do tremendous things with the stuff that you put in the plate. So part of the ongoing conversation we're having about this is, well, what do people need to know? To know what the state is of the finances of the church. And some people keep saying, well, we need to have the context. And that's the kind of thing I just gave you, that we made in 3 months what we should have in a month. Okay? But one of the other things that I keep saying is, but I don't think that's enough to encourage people to give. What you need to know is why you should do it. The way the manager in this text operated is, the reason he did it was so he could get something out of it. And you know, there are churches now that are preaching, if you give, you're going to get blessed and you're going to get back and you're going to have a new Mercedes and you're going to have new living room furniture and you might even have a gold toilet like the bishop had. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry. That's not what we're saying here. Believe me, if you give, you will be blessed. But the reason that we give is not so that you will be blessed. The reason that we give is because we have been blessed. The values of the children of light are not shrewdness and dishonesty and cleverness. The values of the children of light are grace and mercy and kindness and giving. And if we operate under that premise, we will be blessed because our whole lives will change. And I know what some of you are saying. Listen, I'm in debt to Sallie Mae. I got to pay that bill. I got a school bill. I got to pay for my grandkids. I got a mortgage. I'm living hand to mouth. Can't do it now. Wait till I'm in my 50s. Okay, I'm in my 50s. Let me tell you, it doesn't get better. It gets different, but it doesn't get better. I'll give to you then. I want to tell you right now, if you don't get in the habit, you never will. You've got to make a conscious choice to get in the habit to give. And what we do is we give because God has given to us. Some of you know that my dear friend Ted Owen and I spent Friday in a car. We took the church's handbells. Here's the thing about the... You want to talk about a dishonest manager? Here, I think this is dishonest, Debbie. I got to get this off my chest. We wanted to get the handbells refurbished. It's a good thing, and we're going to start using them, and these people are going to learn how to play bells, and it's going to be beautiful, and we're all going to cry. What? Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. We're all going to cry. Debbie found the place to do it. You know, it's where we got the bells, and it's going to cost something like $2,200 to get the bells refurbished. Okay, we can handle that. They wanted $1,100 to ship them. Ted and I looked at that and said, that's the craziest thing we've ever heard. So we got in a car, and we drove over toward Philadelphia, and we delivered the bells on Friday, and it took them about 7.5 minutes to do what they needed to do, getting them out of the car and tagging them and whatever. And then we got back in the car and drove the other 6 hours back. But here was the fun part of that. I got to listen to Ted tell his stories. Ted is a storyteller. And he tells the marvelous story of his family, his siblings, after his parents died. And you know, if you've never been through this, when parents die and siblings start to settle up an estate, it can be one ugly mess. Fights break out. People end up not talking to each other. It ruins relationships. I want this. You want that. No, you don't get that. I remember that. Ted's family went through. They had very little of that. And when they all got it divvied up, somebody said, but there's still one more thing. Mom had the ledger, and we've got to get the ledger from upstairs. The ledger was all the debts the children had owed over their time. You know how that goes. I get behind in my bill and I say, Mom, can you loan me $500 so I can buy the kids shoes or get them lessons or pay the electric bill or whatever happens. And apparently, parents had been very meticulous in keeping notes of precisely who owed what to whom, when, and what was owed back. The record of debt was very significantly and meticulously kept. And they brought the book down and they started to look through it and they couldn't decide what to do with it. And finally, the oldest sister said, give it to me. And they all went, no, you're not in it. They didn't give you money like that, and if they did, you paid it off. That you're not in it. You shouldn't be the one to have it. She said, I'm precisely the one that should have it. Because of all of us, I'm the least indebted. And sister took that book, and she ripped it up. No more debt. See, friends, we are children of the light. We are children of the kingdom of God. We are Christ followers, the one who has taken any debt that we have, nailed it to a cross, and left it there. And we never have to pick it up again. And because of that, we can give freely out of gratitude for grace and mercy. Thanks be to God. Amen.